Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, recently on the show, we spoke about how expectation can weigh down kids playing sport. But on the field of play itself and sports and exercise, it can benefit not only the body, but the mind as well. And of course, talking about this subject, we had to get in neuroscientist Brian Penny. Hello.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Very well.
Okay. You can't move for the amount of people walking around the place with bet on athleisure wear. They're doing the kids drop off. They're going around. They're in the shops. They're everywhere. But what do we know about whether Irish people get enough exercise or not? I mean, they're wearing the gear, but are they actually exercising enough?
Yeah, so interesting. When I checked the statistics on this, I was surprised to find that up to 43% of adults are getting sufficient exercise. Now, I think the word sufficient there is key. It's not optimal, because when it does come to these statistics and government recommendations, it's always what's sufficient, not what's optimal. And I think that's a key element of that there. And what exercise are people actually doing? So they walk around the gym gear, they mightn't necessarily be doing the optimal exercise. But 43% is a fantastic number. But when you look at children, only 1 in 6 kids are getting enough exercise. And I think that's an incredible statistic. It gets worse. So between 12 and 18 year olds are only getting 10%. 10% of them are getting exercise, and 7% for girls in that age bracket, which is exacerbated by it's like a 20% dropout at secondary school for multiple different reasons. So that's a cause for concern.
It is. And it shows that, or maybe, you know, that number of 47% is going to drop because people, you know, who grow into adulthood are not used to exercise and are getting so little exercise that the trajectory will be that they'll stay on the no exercise wagon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that is kind of worrying. They are worrying stats for kids, especially.
Yeah.
Why is exercise so important? Let's talk about it.
So exercise, like I personally have a toolbox of psychological, emotional health, but exercise for me is the be all and end all. It's the number one thing. And if exercise was a drug, we would say it's too good to be true. The benefits are that immense. And not only does it keep us physically healthy, and when we're talking about physical health, we're talking about the four horsemen of mortality. That's cardiovascular health, like cardiovascular death, heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease and diabetes. Like, it's absolutely immense when it comes to treating or preventing those conditions. But it can also...
No. So you said Alzheimer's, which is interesting. Yeah. That's a disease of the brain. So how does that correlate?
Yeah, so it's physical actually, exercise? So it's all interlinked. One of the things is like metabolic health. So our metabolic health is how we eat, ingest food and get oxygen to create energy through our mitochondria. Glucose is a big player in that, and diabetes is linked to that as well. And Alzheimer's is also linked to this. Brain health is intrinsically linked to our metabolic and our cardiovascular health, because a lot of our brain, it's the cardiovascular systems within the brain that fuel the brain, that give the brain energy. The brain is the hungriest energy machine in the body. Up to 25% of our energy is used by the brain, even though it's only a small part if you're thinking about it in terms of weight. So it's the energy systems in terms of exercise and the energy systems in terms of cardiovascular and metabolic health that are really, really important for that.
Just going back to your last statistic there, you said 1 in 6 12 to 18 year olds are exercising. Is that right? Is that what it is? Okay, so how much exercise should that age group, let's focus on them for a second, should they be doing?
God, I don't know the actual statistics of per week. I know for adults, it's recommended at about 1.5 hours per week. And I think that's sufficient amount of exercise.
Only being the optimal word there, sufficient, not the optimal.
Not optimal. Now,
okay.
I don't want to crack people up who don't exercise, but looking at the research, and this is the latest research of preventative medicine, like lifestyle medicine, not the fixed kind of medical models that we have for the last couple of decades, but some research is pointing towards that for optimal, and it's talking about really great health into your latter years of your life, it's up to about 10 hours a week. So that's the reality of it. And that's a mix of stability training, strength training, cardiovascular training. But
high intensity.
But if you look in terms of sufficient as an hour and a half versus optimal elite is kind of 10 hours. So maybe somewhere in the middle of that. So what I would suggest with kids, like not suggest, I don't know the actual statistics, but I think you've got to be looking in between two and a half, 3 hours a week.
Yeah. We had a doctor on quite recently talk about men's health, and he was saying that you should be doing high intensity workouts. Now we're talking about HIIT classes and running on a treadmill and not. Now walking is beneficial, of course, especially for mental health, but just getting in those high intensity sessions are so important for your cardiovascular and all that kind of stuff. For someone with depression, telling them to go out and do high intensity exercise, it seems harsh, cruel even. Would you agree?
I would 100% agree with that. And exercise is, when it comes to mental health, like the benefits of exercise and mental health are off the charts as well. They really are. And there was a recent study that showed huge benefits for people with depression and a huge benefits for high intensity. But as you say, it's really challenging to ask somebody that's feeling depressed to go out for a run and you'll be grand. It is cruel. So what I would suggest is research is there as well that even going out for a walk and a bit of a brisk walk is highly beneficial. And I came across some beautiful research around awe, the sense of wonder. And this really taps into our immune systems and the inflammation that we have in our bodies, because there's no biological marker for depression. So a lot of people think there's probably a biological marker. There's no biological marker for any psychological illnesses. It's more of a, like, where a doctor's tool is objective measures like blood markers and biological markers. A psychiatrist and psychologist's tool is language. Mm-hmm. So there's no biological marker. But there is some inflammatory markers. They're called pro-inflammatory cytokines that are associated with depression. And the research shows, and there's some young research around this as well, that when you go for a walk in nature and you experience that sense of awe and wonder in nature, it reduces that inflammatory response. And that inflammation can have a big effect on the likes of serotonin, those feel-good neurotransmitters in the brain as well. So although the research is young, research is shown, it's not young, on a brisk walk is beneficial. But if you introduce a sense of awe and nature on top of that as well, it can have a big effect.
And a good stepping stone. You know what I mean? If somebody is suffering with depression, you know, just go out, like, start off with a walk.
Baby steps.
Can you explain more about the brain chemistry here when it comes to, let's go to high intensity and optimal exercise? What happens with the brain when that's going on?
Yeah, so this is where, when I found recovery myself, exercise became really, really important for me. And I just found out of everything I'd done, when I exercised, I just felt incredible. It really does make me feel on top of the world. And I wanted to know the science behind that. So I was looking.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And I was looking at the research and I came across this beautiful pathway. Now, it is a little bit sciencey.
Okay, go on.
But it's a really, really cool pathway. It's called the Kynurenine pathway. So from an evolutionary perspective, before I start the Kynurenine pathway, from an evolutionary perspective, we have been given the reward of endorphins to help us to exercise again. So we get that endorphin high, that runner's high. And again, it's from the high intensity exercise as well, because it's when the heart rate is increased. That's when you really get the benefits of that. But this Kynurenine pathway, how this starts is we have an essential amino acid in our body called tryptophan. Tryptophan can be converted into multiple different things. One of the things it can be converted into is serotonin. So if you want that feel-good neurotransmitter, which is inversely correlated with depression, so lack of serotonin points towards depressive symptoms. So we need serotonin in our brains, and we need tryptophan to convert that into serotonin. But if you're struggling with stress, anxiety, or the psychological challenges that many of us experience today, we need to fight that inflammation from that through a metabolite called Kynurenine, which also comes from tryptophan. So if you're stressed, the tryptophan gets converted into Kynurenine instead of serotonin. But the research shows that if you exercise, it creates more serotonin from that tryptophan, and you can fight inflammation at a more natural level. And adding to that, a byproduct of canoranine is a neurotoxin for the brain, which is robustly related with psychological issues. Whereas if you exercise, you stop converting that neurotoxin into something neuroprotective called canoric acid. So just to give a little bit of a summary of that. Most people today are struggling with some kind of stress in their lives, so they're going to convert that tryptophan into canoranine. So if you exercise, you have more serotonin, you're going to get the natural endorphins, and you're going to have a neuroprotective acid rather than a neurotoxic acid in your brain. So when I looked at the combination of that, I was like, that's science. It's science. It's there.
That was very complicated, but I was with you the whole way. Were you there? Were you with them? We were all with you, willing you on.
If anyone, I get it. Yeah, and if anyone wants a little rehash of that, check out, I have a YouTube channel where I talk about that specifically as well. So just in case they want to go back over that.
What would you say to people that they're just, you know, people are listening, they're probably, I'm just too tired to exercise.
Yeah, so this is the big one that gets me as well in terms of energy creates energy, and I personally believe that exercise creates energy. Now, sometimes you do have to listen to your body. Sometimes you are just tired. That's just the reality of it. But how the energy systems works, and it taps into what we talked about at the very start, how it impacts Alzheimer's and metabolic health and all of these things, that we have cells in our body called mitochondria. I'm sure people may have heard of that. It does many things, but it's like the battery power of the body. So it converts glucose with the help of oxygen into energy. So into an energy called ATP. So if you have to do anything, think, anything we do or think or feel, we need ATP to create that energy. When you exercise, you are basically creating highly efficient mitochondria within the body. So you are basically souping up your energy system through exercise. So the efficiency of you to create energy is increased through exercise. And then in terms of health, like by boosting your energy systems, in terms of mental health, by boosting your energy systems, exercise combats the fatigue and lethargy that are associated with the likes of depression. So it impacts your energy, and as a byproduct, it impacts and improves your mental health.
I do find that those sessions that you're too tired to do or you don't want to do are the best sessions you will ever do, and you feel so good after. Brighton, thank you so much for that. Definitely food for thought, and I think you've inspired us all to get out and go for a run. Well, maybe not a run, maybe a class somewhere. Thank you so much for that. Let me know your thoughts on this on 51552. That was neuroscientist Brian Penny talking about how mental health benefits or from sport and exercise, and this is all part of a monthly series in association with Leia Healthcare.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.